WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. This is The Opening Bell, 511. Dale Buss is going to be sitting in for Frank Hungelmeyer this morning as we talk about RVs, which, I gotta tell you, if I was able to retire and could just hop in an RV and head on off to lands that I want to see, that doesn't sound like a terrible thing. And apparently the boon in the vehicle sales is just keeps rolling here. Of course, we got a strong economy going right now, and RV sales are expected their highest in nearly four decades. Think about that, four decades. The Recreational Vehicle Industry Association. Dale from Forbes is on the line this morning. Dale, good morning. Appreciate you taking some time here. You're a journalist who contributes to, here with Forbes, and you've been following this. What's going on here, Dale? You know, people are all about fuel economy, but yet here's a huge vehicle that that seems old school, but yet they're buying them up in droves right now. Explain.
Yeah, well, you know, recreational vehicles have come a long way from, well, I guess the most recent association people might have is Cousin Eddie in Christmas Vacation.
Right,
the
right.
Movie. That's not the industry anymore. There are lots of Cousin Eddies out there. But, yeah, as you mentioned, sales are booming. They've increased by 15% in each of the last 2 years, and now RV sales are more than half a million units for the first time for the industry. And, you know, it's especially important to the Chicago area and flyover country because the industry is headquartered in northern Indiana. Most of the manufacturers are there, most of the jobs, and most of the growth. And what you have happening here is you used to have these exaggerated plunges and booms for RV sales that kind of went along with the auto industry cycle and the general economy. And sure enough, you know, RV sales were devastated by the Great Recession and, you know, gasoline prices that were $4 a gallon. I mean, when you get just a handful of miles a gallon, you ain't going to be buying an RV in those conditions. But the industry's coming back because of several factors. The good economy, you know, most Americans feel wealthier. And when they do that, you know, more want to buy an RV. Strong consumer confidence, incomes are rising. Even the tax bill has been favorable to RV sales because it maintained the mortgage deduction on second homes, and that includes RVs. And there are a bunch of other factors that we can talk about as well.
Well, let's talk about production because somebody's got to be making the investment here, and I'm sure that people with dough are, one, excited, but also, two, leery about not going over the top here. How is that, just getting them made, period, how is that going?
It's going really well. I mean, as I mentioned, the Great Recession devastated employment in the RV sector. And over the last several years, it's just come roaring back. In fact, I was talking with a gentleman named Frank Hugelmeyer, who's the president of the Industry Association. He was pointing out that there are at least 15 different facilities in the industry that either have just new facilities and expansions that have either just come online or are about to come online, which is a huge number. And these are not just in northern Indiana, but also places like Iowa, Idaho, California, Oregon. You know, it's really one of those industries that has latched on to some of these trends that I mentioned and the strong economy and is going crazy. And one of the biggest reasons is that millennials are actually buying RVs.
Come on.
Little known fact. I mean, they're flocking to RVs just like they're buying big SUVs.
So you're telling me that 25-year-olds are a growing purchasing group here with the RVs? That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, especially 35-year-olds.
Okay.
The top of the millennial segment. But you can get into, these days, you can get into an RV for $7,000 to $10,000. And for that amount of money, you can have a bed, you know, a small kitchen, even a small onboard toilet. And there are RVs that a Mini can pull. So the industry has responded to the interest of millennials by making it affordable. And frankly, you know, the desire for experiences supposedly is overtaking the desire for goods these days, right? Especially among millennials. And what better experience could there be than, you know, living in comfort, sleeping in your own bed each night? You enjoy total connectivity, but you're still hitting the open road and, you know, seeing the country.
Is this more of a lifestyle choice that we're seeing, or is this actually an investment where if you're looking at the housing market, things are too expensive, this is a good play?
I suppose to some extent it's an investment, but really it's more of a lifestyle play, definitely. And, you know, as I mentioned, given what's happened to the economy and the way that millennials are looking at the way they want to spend their money, you know, I think these stereotypes about, you know, their grandparents hopping in an RV and slapping a bunch of stickers on the back of all the places that they've been is kind of an outdated notion. I mean, there's still lots of that because baby boomers are fueling this market, too. But it's something that millennials can overlook and say, hey, you know, I can take this thing. I can go to a NASCAR race.
Right.
Park there. I can go to Burning Man, you know, and park there and use their RV as kind of a social base camp.
Dale Buss, Forbes contributor, also with Chief Executive Magazine. Just giving one look into the future. A year from now, is this sustainable? 5 years from now, what do you think? I know you can't see the future, but what's your guess?
Well, the industry thinks that it is. You've got gas prices are low. You mentioned those. You have stable interest rates. You have great credit availability, and the kind of other vehicles that are being sold are SUVs. They're great, and trucks. So they're great tow vehicles. They can carry RVs around, you know, as compared to a small sedan. So, and the demographics continue to favor the industry. So they're looking for this to continue for quite some time, actually.
I'm painting a vision in my head here, Dale. I get my RV. I put my Michael Jordan posters up, maybe a couple shots of the Cubs winning the World Series. I drive around the world. I see sweet things. It's not terrible.
Yeah.
I'm getting on board here.
You might run into Cousin Eddie somewhere, but there are lots of folks out there, too.
I'm going to bring Bob Ferguson along with me. He'll be my Cousin Eddie. That's our engineer this morning. Dale, appreciate the time. Thanks for the knowledge.
You bet. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Dale Buss, Forbes contributor, Chief Executive Magazine. As we look at the boon in RV, something I did not expect to be talking about this morning, but hey, that's what's going on, and people, interesting, the millennial side of that, a lot of young people buying RVs. This is the Opening Bell. Steve Grzanich is off this morning, off this week. I'm Mark Harmon, sitting in for you this morning. On the WGN Associate and Bank Market Desk, a couple stocks that we're looking at. Let's take a look at our biggest gainers and losers yesterday. GCAP, Gain Capital Holdings, was your biggest gainer. Percentage-wise, 26%, up a couple of points, up to $9.85. Westmoreland Resource Partners, WMLP, is up 23% from to up to 273, 51 cent change yesterday. Yume, Y-U-M-E, up 12% to $4.55, up 49 cents yesterday. Cheetah Mobile, CMCM, up $1.17 to $11.94. That's an 11% change. And Civeo, C-V-E-O, up 23 cents to $2.64. That's about a 9.5% change. All right, your biggest losers yesterday, decliners, as they like to say. Volex, Letjet, ADR, VJet is down 30 cents to 467. Main Products is down about 84 cents, or exactly 84 cents, I should say, to 1336. Manning and Napier down 20 cents to 350. And Rene Sola, ADR, S-O-L, down 15 cents to 264. That's a 5.4% decline. Taking a look at unemployment this morning, and the news is just tremendous. We'll do that in a second, though. First, let's get to Wall Street Now.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, the Dow hit a new record, rising 63 points. The NASDAQ gained 10. The S&P bumped up 4. Natural gas stocks were winners as temperatures dropped across much of the country. The number of applications for unemployment benefits stayed about the same as last week at 245,000, a low number that suggests a solid job market. Long-term mortgage rates have moved higher, but they're still lower than a year ago. Obamacare sign-ups may have been less than advertised earlier this month. The federal government now says 8.7 million people signed up for coverage less than initially reported, with some canceling coverage then automatically enrolled in. Federal prosecutors say they've arrested a seventh person for their role in a scheme to smuggle teenagers from Guatemala to the U.S. and force them to work at an egg farm in Ohio as virtual slave laborers. And charities are seeing more donations this year, perhaps because of next year's tax laws. The new policy doesn't affect your charitable deductions, but more people might take the larger standard deduction next year. Brad Milkey, ABC News.
It's the opening bell. Mark Harmon sitting in for Steve Grzanich as we take a look at unemployment, which decreased over the year, and it also decreased in November. That's according to the data released by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Illinois Department of Employment Security. Illinois businesses added jobs in 10 of our metro areas, Kankakee, Quad Cities, to name a couple. Let's hear more from Bob Goff, who's a spokesman for the unemployment. And, hey, there is more good news.
Very encouraging that job growth was reported in 10 of those 14 metro areas, and more than 30,000 of those jobs were created in the Chicago metro area.
There you go. And, hey, compared to a year ago, things are rolling, as Bob continues.
We did have job growth in professional business services, also mining and construction, as well as transportation, warehousing, and manufacturing. So some pretty broad-based growth there over the year.
Industry sectors are recording growth in many of the major areas here, mining and construction, professional and business services, transportation, warehousing, utilities, manufacturing, education and health services, leisure and hospitality, all adding jobs in the month of November, which is great news for all of us. All right, up next, here is our Inno Minute.
A rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Chicago Tech had quite a year when it came to startup acquisitions. Local startup Bucket Feet, which makes and sells artist-designed sneakers, was acquired by Threadless, another Chicago e-commerce lifestyle brand, in October. Bucket Feet, which launched in 2011, raised more than $28 million in funding. Driven, the local startup that was launched in 2015 by Groupon founders Brad Keywell and Eric Lepofsky, was acquired in April for $43 million in stock by Car, a car auction services company in Carmel, Indiana. Driven, which raised more than $23 million in funding, operated as a tool for car dealerships to sell, source, and acquire vehicles for their lots. And in September, Motion AI was acquired for $9 million by HubSpot, an inbound marketing and sales platform based in Boston. Motion AI, which creates artificial intelligence chatbots for businesses, launched in 2015 and raised $700,000 in outside funding. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more about the top startup acquisitions from 2017 at ChicagoInno.com. And while you're there, sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
All right. Good morning. Wish we could just do what I just did off the air, on the air. That was a fun conversation. Mark Horner is here. We're making some New Year's financial resolutions. Mark is a founder and wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management, which is located in Oak Brook. The website, fairhavenwealth.com. Mark, good morning. Great to have you here.
Great to be here.
So, all right, we're talking New Year's financial resolutions, and people who are saying, you know what, I got to do better saving my money or investing my money. And that's great, but I'm one of those worry words here, Mark. I'm not going to lie to you. The Dow's up 26% this year. I'm like, oh, my God, you're going to invest now when it's at all-time highs? That seems completely terrifying to me. How are you looking? If somebody's coming in right now and they just won the lottery or got a big raise, and all of a sudden they've got some money on the side, they're thinking what to do. I mean, what are you telling them right now is what should be your quote-unquote New Year's resolution with your dollars, considering where we're at with the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ all at all-time highs?
So it does depend case by case and individual circumstances. And so time horizon is a big part of crafting an appropriate investment plan and financial plan. So I'd say if somebody's in that conversation, if somebody's going to need a lot of their money over the next 3 to 5 years, that's going to be very conservatively invested regardless of where the market is right now. But if we're talking about a more typical client that's got longer term goals, I wouldn't be scared off by what we've seen in the market this year. A lot of people get a little bit confused as far as judging market performance. So as far as bull markets go, the returns that we've had in the overall stock market this year are in line with an average year for a bull market. Now, that's excluding bear markets, but a typical bull market is going to be, you're going to see low 20% returns per year.
How long have we been in this bull market now? It feels like about a decade.
It's almost. It's knocking on the door of a decade. So since 2009, and so far, this bull market has tracked the typical course that most bull markets do, and that is the first third of a bull market is kind of a V-shaped move from the bottom. Then it tends to flatten off for a little bit, kind of take a breather, and then another move. The latter third of a bull market is another move higher, and I'd say we've moved into that latter third.
Okay, so when are we going to get signs, or how do we identify? All right, this bull market is perhaps coming to an end, and I got to think wisely about what's coming next and how to protect myself as best I can.
Yeah, so you want to be careful about not falling into the trap of market timing, because that no one has been able to prove that can work consistently. So you do want to be careful now, but making changes, tweaks in your overall asset allocation based on current circumstances, there can be some value to that. So a few things to be looking out for are when people stop having the conversation that we're having right now, when people stop saying, hey, the earnings, the valuation is too high, or I'm concerned about making, you know, why is the market making new highs every day? When that kind of talk shifts to, hey, isn't this fabulous? You know, Dow 50,000 is our next stop. You may have different opinions about the leadership in Washington and tweets at 2 a.m, but isn't it great having a business person in the office and a deal maker? When you start hearing talk like that instead of I'm worried about making new highs, that's probably a sign that we've moved from an optimistic view of the market into a euphoric view, which typically ends badly.
The last time I remember that type of talk that you're talking about, I was getting out of college. It was around 96, 97, 98.
Right.
My friends were all going they were all working at the Board of Trade,
yep,
or the CBO,
yep,
and things were flying. Qualcomm was going to
right,
7 gazillion, and it was never going to end. And it ended really quick and painfully for a lot of people.
So that's it. So that's a great example. So the Fed chairman in the late 90s, the exact time frame that you're talking about is Alan Greenspan.
Right.
And he has that famous phrase of irrational exuberance in the markets. He made that statement in 1996.
Interesting.
The bear market didn't show up for another 4 years.
Right.
4 years after he made that statement. So trends in the investment markets, trends can last a lot longer than a lot of us think.
Interesting. So here, let me, as we're doing New Year's resolutions here, and people are saying, you know, I need to get myself situated, and okay, fine, I believe what Mark just said. I'm not going to guess the market. I want to get involved. But a lot of people, they don't want to use a financial advisor because they
right,
don't want to pay you, Mark. They,
right,
I can open up my E-Trade account or whatever, whatever discount brokerage you want to go with, TD Water, whatever. And versus, okay, I'm going to give you what 1% or whatever you charge. What do you tell people who are sick, thinking, you know what, I can do this myself and I won't pay the fees and I'm going to be better off in the end?
Yeah, you know, the world's a big place, and there are people that just like to do this stuff on their own. And to answer your question about what do I tell them, have at it. That's great. And wish them well. The clients that we work with, though, are more interested in kind of outsourcing that expertise. And I would say financial planning is a lot more than just buying a particular stock. So there are things about retirement planning. Do you have the appropriate amount of life insurance? What does your estate plan look like? What are you doing as far as talking to your kids about financial planning? So helping the next generation with education, college savings for kids and grandkids. Do you have the right, and it doesn't have to do just with assets, do you have the right debt structure in your own personal balance sheet? Could your mortgage, could you be structured a little bit differently? Could you borrow money a little bit more efficiently? So there's lots more that goes into a financial planning relationship than just buying Google.
No doubt. Mark Horner is your founder and wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management, located in Oak Brook. You can contact Mark and his team. He's got people working for him too. FairhavenWealth.com. All right, you're speaking to like kids and how do you set them up? And I'm thinking now, you just made me think of a commercial. How much money is enough? When do I know that I've clicked it? All right, I've got X in the bank and I don't have to worry about it anymore. I see that. I'm like, there's no such thing. You don't know what's going to happen. The market could collapse and go in half tomorrow, and then you went from here to there, and now what do you do? But do you believe in that? Like, okay, if I hit this number, maybe I'm just being negative. That if you hit this number, you're good, because this is, we're going to plan it that way.
I think that comes back to just client by client. Different people feel differently about that. So we've got some clients that we work with that you'd look at their portfolio and think they are way too conservative for their age. But the mandate they've given us is they take risk in their own businesses that they might own. They take risk in different areas of their lives, and the assets that they've given to us to look after are conservative in nature. And then you look at some other clients that maybe for their age look like their portfolio on the surface might be a little too aggressive, but they've got other income coming in from different sources that they're relying less on the portfolio, so they've got a longer time horizon. So it really varies on personal circumstances.
Right. We gotta sit down, we have to have a conversation, we gotta open up the covers here, see everything that's going on. Okay, all right, let's talk some New Year's resolutions here. One thing that's written in front of me is make a plan.
Yep.
Budgeting. No one does this, Mark. You can't actually have a do people really map this out? Are you recommending?
So everybody hates budgeting, and I will include myself in that.
Okay.
But study after study shows are having written goals, so whether they are financial or what college you want to get into or New Year's resolutions about losing weight or getting to the gym more often, when you write it down, it has this ability to get you focused on that goal. And so the likelihood of achieving a goal that is written is just far more greater than just throwing it out there. So when we're talking about planning, it's the power of thinking about where I want to be 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the road, visualizing that, committing it to paper, and then you're just more likely to hit it.
Let me throw one Mark Carman recommendation in there too. Print that thing, put it in your bathroom, put it somewhere you're going to see it. Like for myself at least, I'll put it in an email, and it's great when I wrote it down, but then it's in an email.
Right.
I don't see it. And then I'll look back. Oh yeah, those are my resolutions. That was sweet. I should have printed that out. So that's one of my resolutions. I'm printing out what I come up with.
I carry mine in my wallet.
Do you really?
Yeah. It's handwritten. It's in my wallet.
That's awesome. I like that a lot. I'm reading on something else here that's written on my resolutions that I want to question you on. It says simplify, and we're talking about having all your bank statements given in one spot, but like it says here to not have automatic payments, like that you're immediately paying your credit card. Mark, if I don't pay my credit card automatically, I'm going to forget. I'm going to get fees. I can't do it that another way. Me personally, I'm not organized. Like, oh yeah, it's the 26th. I gotta go pay now and see exactly what I spent. I'll forget.
Okay, so we're talking about two different things. So automating the payment of the credit card bill, that's fantastic. What we're talking about as far as automating, thinking about de-automating spending,
is having
your credit card number already preloaded in a bunch of retailers' websites or on your phone, so that at your first instinct, hey, this is something I want to buy, all you have to do is a single touch and you purchase it and it gets shipped to you. Now I get the convenience of that, which is very attractive. But I think in spending, in day-to-day spending, there should be you should set yourself up to experience a little bit of pain in spending
and have to
write down either a check or actually type in the credit card number to give yourself a chance to maybe, do I really need this?
I hope my girlfriend's listening. You're exactly right. It is painful to reach into your wallet, pull out the credit card, type the number, oh, do I really want to do this for this pair of shoes that I really, really, really don't need?
That's what we're talking about.
Right. Okay. All right. I hear you now. I'm feeling that. Because there's no way I'm deactivating that. I'll be getting late fees.
No, we don't want that.
Interest fees, all that stuff is going to be coming at me. All right. Last one. It says here to talk about money more often. What do you mean by that?
So money I'm not even sure why, but it's a bit of a taboo subject to talk about. And I think one of the reasons is frequently money gets talked about in budget terms or student loan debt. I mean, who wants to ruin dinner out with your friends by talking about student loan debt or budgeting? But the fact is, all of us are going to need to do some level of our own financial planning, one level or another. None of us are born with any of these skills. They have to be learned. And the more that you talk about it, the more educated you become. And in saving for retirement, let's say, which the younger generation right now, I think, is going to have to increasingly rely on their own savings for retirement, time is a huge ally in saving. And so for parents and grandparents to talk to their kids now, and I don't think it can start too soon, is a huge gift to your kids. So that's the kind of talking about money that we're referring to.
Yeah, Papa Fred started talking to me at three. You get a parking ticket, you are wasting money. I don't even have a car, man. I barely have a bicycle. All right, Mark, great stuff. I really enjoyed talking to you. Mark Horner, some New Year's financial resolutions and a little look at the market. Again, more info, fairhavenwealth.com. Mark's located in Oak Brook. You can contact him there. Thanks for the time.
Happy New Year.